And welcome to the fourth episode of Lagnapod. I am Rob Holbert, one of the co-publishers of Lagnap.
And I'm Ashley Trice, another one of the publishers, the second and only one, other one.
Dale Leash, I'm a news reporter.
And this is Allison Shepard. I'm a writer and the copy editor.
Yeah, we're here this week. It's Mardi Gras week. Things are a little different because we're downtown. Our office is downtown, so we're right in the thick of things normally, but there's not many things to be in the thick of right now.
No garbage in the front. No discarded beads or throw up.
No, we haven't had to like put anything over the windows or clean up anything disgusting.
But I miss
it
still.
Oh yeah, definitely miss it. Yeah, there's we're definitely missing Mardi Gras, but.
But the city's got some plans that we'll talk about in a little bit.
Yeah, we're going to talk about those things. We're going to talk about a number of things, including Mardi Gras, we'll even talk about the Super Bowl, and we'll talk about the Sanger Theater. But right now,
Dale's going to talk about how much he loves Tom Brady. I believe.
Yeah, he's going to.
Can't wait.
That may take a full third segment for him to expound upon his love for Tom Brady. But right now, we're going to talk about our cover story this week. And Ash, I'll let you lead into this.
Yeah, so Allison, you did a fabulous job kind of going over what people who are experiencing infertility or having problems conceiving children. I know I had a friend, it's been a long time ago now, but she had to go to Atlanta. But now there are options right here on the Gulf Coast. And I know you talked to some couples and some of the doctors at the Reproductive Medicine Center. So why don't you just kind of tell us what you found out?
Yeah. So I feel like when people deal with infertility and they face that issue, they immediately think that they need to go to Atlanta or Birmingham to get treatment. And it turns out there's actually a really advanced center right here in Mobile. It's called the Center for Reproductive Medicine, or CRM, and they're affiliated with Mobile Infirmary. And they have some of the most advanced tech in the state.
Yeah, their numbers looked amazing. It was like, 82%? Success rate, I think it was.
Yeah. Right. So all those numbers of live birth with IVF, and those are all public. So people can always review those when they're looking for places to get treatment. And, you know, we don't think about infertility until it affects your life.
Right.
And it's actually very prevalent. It's like 1 in 8 couples deals with infertility.
I thought that was a really amazing number. I didn't realize it was that high.
Right. And, you know, you think it's people who are older who are having kids, but that's not the case.
Yeah. One of the ladies, interviewed, she was only 24 years old, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's some women who have dealt with PCOS or endometriosis since they were teenagers, they first started their cycle, they knew that there was a problem. I mean, there's one woman I spoke to. I was able to speak to quite a few patients. And one woman who had only had 2 cycles in her entire life.
Wow. Yeah,
she got married and went into it, and her and her husband knew that there was going to be a problem. And they, of course, attempted on their own and it didn't work. And normally, especially if you're young, you know, you have to try for a year before your doctor will even start fertility tests or recommend you to a specialist. So, you know, one person I spoke to as well who went through IVF, who is also an infertility therapist, she talked about, you know, how much grief and pain people go through because it's a full year of getting negative pregnancy tests when you have plans and you make plans and you schedule things with the hope of having a family and starting a family, you know, on a certain timeline. And then when it doesn't work out, it's just grief and you can't go forward and you can't get more tests because insurance doesn't pay for it. You have to wait for your doctor to approve it. You know, that's another big issue that people deal with is the financial aspect of it.
How much is, I saw, you know, tell people how much it costs. I mean, it's an expensive process.
You know, if you're going all the way through IVF, which is the most invasive and most technically advanced, it's tens of thousands of dollars.
Right. And that's for one. Well, it's for one retrieval.
Yeah.
Right. So you may get 9 so one, eggs.
Correct. Know, so, like that. Yeah. And it's, you know, that's not covered by insurance. There's, of course, levels lower than that. There's one called IUI, which is very popular, which is not
as successful. But,
yeah, it's, you know, that takes place within your body versus taking the eggs out. And then there's just basic hormone treatments. There's basic pills, there's basic shots that people take. But, you know, one woman I spoke to, sometimes people are very lucky and they can accomplish getting pregnant with one cycle.
Right.
Okay. So that can be a couple hundred bucks if you're
really,
if you're lucky. Yeah.
Yeah. That is lucky, I guess.
That is very lucky.
The other folks, yes.
Versus, you know, some women have to deal with over and over cycles. You know, one woman, it took her 5 years because she couldn't afford the treatment. So, and she talked about that she would have to put stuff on credit cards.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I'm sure many women are like, let's mortgage the house.
Repossess your baby at the end of it if you can't pay it, right?
Well, I mean, it's just, I mean, get back to the grief a little bit. If you've ever known anyone who's been through this, mm-hmm. I mean, other than losing a loved one, I think it's probably one of the most devastating problems you can go through. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then just having to grieve with that person every single month that they don't get a positive pregnancy test, mm-hmm. and feeling guilty that you have your children around them. I mean, it is just, it affects everyone, you know, families, right. friendships.
And there's a misconception that it's a women's issue, obviously.
Right.
It's actually, you know, 30 to 40% of cases are a female specific issue. Just as many, 30 to 40% are the male specific issue. And then there's a combination of the two. And then there's about 10% that they never even figure out what the problem was.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I saw it, you know, in your story too, there was a couple, I guess, that had this done, and I guess they had two children, I think. And then all of a sudden they had a third without it. Right.
I spoke to two women that happened to actually, you know,
it's like your body.
That happens
like
quite a bit, right?
It does.
Resets
yeah.
or something. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. It learns how to be pregnant or something.
Absolutely.
I've had friends that had that happen. They adopted and then had their own child.
It's interesting. Doctors say that there's more unknown about infertility than there is known about it. It's still such an unknown topic that they're diving into.
Yeah, I think that, you know, one of the things in there that, you know, you had so many interesting stories from people, and that's what made it, to me, that's what made this story mm-hmm. a lot of fun to read, is just reading the stories of people who've had success.
Yeah, and I'll talk about the LGBTQ mm-hmm. community. Obviously, they have some unique challenges, but the clinic is helping those couples as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, there's a lot of people who don't know that they're infertile, or they don't realize it until they start the process of trying to get pregnant. But then there's also couples, lesbian couples, for instance, or any LGBTQ couples who know to begin with that they're not going to be able to get pregnant naturally at home.
Right.
So they, you know, perhaps are more, they've saved money maybe.
Yeah. Right.
So versus other people, you know,
who think it's going to just happen the old fashioned way.
Yes. Yeah. And they don't have savings for it, or they drain their 401ks or max out their credit cards for it. So, but you know, they deal with LGBTQ patients as well. And, you know, it's getting sperm from a sperm bank, and, you know, it's the same process. It's just with donated sperm or things like that. And they can also do embryo donation at the center, which I think is something I didn't go into in the story, but I thought it was pretty fascinating, the moral or ethics dilemma that people face they, you know, say you go through an IVF treatment. And, you know, one woman I spoke to, she was like, I feel so lucky because I got two embryos out of it. So right. She was able to implant one embryo and store the other. And in the future, they hope to implant that one. But then she said, you know, but I would feel just as unlucky if they had gotten 20 embryos out of me. Because then what am I supposed to do with those?
Well, you can read much more on this story, this in the cover story of Lanyap this week. It's really fascinating. And I would say anyone who's dealing with this issue, this is a must read.
So. Yeah, thank you, Allison. It was a great story.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in today to do this. And we're going to take a little break here you guys listen to our wonderful sponsor, Heroes. And but we'll also be back in just a minute to talk a little bit about Mardi Gras.
Heroes Sports Bar and Grill now open 7 days a week at both locations. Ask about our new hot wings, the Singapore Sting and the Nature Boy.
Woo!
Come have a clipper at Heroes, Mobile's own since 1998. Hero Sports Bar and Grill now offers curbside 7 days a week. Call 433-HERO for Dolphin Street or 341-WING for Hillcrest. Try our kick-ass spinach and crawfish dip. And thanks for supporting Heroes, a Mobile original since 1998.
And we are back for the second segment of Lagnapod this week. And we're going to switch gears a little bit and talk a little bit about the elephant in the living room, the parade in the living room, the parade that's not in the living room, or the parade that's on the porch, I guess, yes, is really where it is this year. You know, it's Mardi Gras. Yeah. And we don't have it. It's not happening. It's very unusual, obviously, for everybody in Mobile, everybody who's used to having Mardi Gras this time of year.
I told my husband the other day, I was like, I'm off, like, because usually this time of year, I'm like, oh, you know, it's the Condies and the Fairies, right, this weekend. And now I'm like, wait, is actually Wednesday actually next week? And he's like, no, it's 2 weeks. I'm like, oh, okay.
It's kind of how you tell.
My calendar is off.
The date.
Yeah, internal Mardi Gras calendar is off. So
yeah, we do. We spend our time this time of year telling where we are basically by what parades are going on.
Where are you
that
watching
night,
the fairies? Where are you watching the Condies?
I just moved closer to downtown this summer, and now I don't get to, you know, experience.
Yeah, you're in walking distance finally, you know,
of the parade route, and I don't get to take advantage of it. It's very,
very odd. That's too bad for you. I didn't think about that. You've got a young daughter. It's time that y'all could just walk right down there and
do the whole wagon.
Yeah, absolutely. That was the plan. We'll have to wait till next year.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing when you are that close to the parade route. You don't miss many parades because there's just nothing better. You know, let's just walk down there.
Go to every single one of them if we could. Absolutely. And you definitely hear them.
So, Dale, but the mayor did make some announcements yesterday. They're going to close some of the streets down on Fat Tuesday. Are they doing that for Joe Kane, too, or just Fat Tuesday?
For right now, it's just Fat Tuesday. Okay. I don't know if Joe Kane will have its own set of plans. I don't know. The city has basically acknowledged that people are going to go downtown, go to Dolphin Street, and have a good time, whether there's parades or not.
Well, I mean, there's been a lot of us are off on social media where people are dressing up and are just going to walk and stuff.
Yeah,
like
they're going to have a good time.
That's sort of the spirit of Joe Kane Day.
I'm kind of getting the feeling that Joe Kane's going to be like that too. You know, I feel like there's some bars that are talking about going down for Joe Kane, that kind of thing. It's, you know, I
mean, my cohort's going to do a crawfish. We're going to have some people that have been around us.
Right.
And we're going to do some crawfish.
So is everybody still off on Mardi Gras Day? Or are people still taking
off? I think that's
off?
The idea. That,
I think we may have to readjust our work schedule.
We kind of threw in the towel on this thing, didn't we? We told everybody, we're going to work on Tuesday. Yeah. We're like the Scrooge of Mardi Gras.
Well, the public schools are closed Monday, Tuesday.
My kids are out all week. Yeah.
So, people will be off, and to make it easier for people to kind of social distance and have a good time, the city has closed, or planning to close some streets. Basically, South Washington to Royal will be, Dauphin from South Washington to Royal will be closed, and then Government Street east of the Bankhead Tunnel will be closed to allow pedestrians to kind of.
Right. And they're going to have floats down at Mardi Gras Park that sit stationary.
There won't be people on the floats, but they will have floats from seven of the parading societies around Mardi Gras Park. And Bellengrath Gardens has given some of its decorations, let the city borrow those to put that around Mardi Gras Park. And the way the mayor sold it was that it's, you know, Mardi Gras Park is our front porch, so we're going to do our own. City's going to do its own porch parade, basically.
Yeah. Speaking of the porch parades, which we, you know, I think everybody probably is aware of porch parades at this point of dressing up your house and doing all that stuff. I've been fascinated to see all these people who have obviously bought big pieces off of floats and other things that were going to go this year.
Renting them even, and it is not cheap. I know one person told me they got one piece and it was $400 for the season.
Wow.
Yeah. So. It's interesting.
That's a lot of money to spend for that. I thought maybe it was just one of these things like, hey, all this paper mache is about to go to waste.
Well, I don't know that everyone is doing rentals, but I know this at least one, at least some of that's going on.
But there are definitely a lot of houses that have these huge pieces that would have been on floats that are in front of their homes, on their porches, that kind of thing. And it's really interesting, which is obviously this, the porch parade stuff. I know there's a map for the Porch Parades. It's coming out. I think we're going to publish that next week.
We have
week.
That. And it's also on MobilePorchParade.com. And we're going to, our next cover story is going to be a look behind the scenes of the, all the Yardi Gras Porch Parade.
And it's not just, and it's not just people who have bought the pieces that have been on floats. I mean, you see more and more people, I mean, myself included, who've making decorated, just gotten decorations and have decorated their porch. And I think, you know, and I think that's been helpful for the, you know, kind of the Mardi Gras economy of the area, where you've got, you know, you've got people who are going to the Mardi Gras stores still, and they're instead of buying maybe a bunch of throws, they're buying decorations that they wouldn't normally buy for their house.
I went to Toomey's last week. I had a little Mardi Gras party last weekend for, we had a little neighborhood parade with the kids, and it was definitely, Toomey's was definitely crowded. I'm sure it is not the same level that, you know, when you have thousands of people
waiting in line to check out for 2 hours.
Well, and when you have Mardi Gras floats that have to be filled, but I mean, it's still, at least it's better than nothing.
Absolutely.
You know? I've got a box of mint moon pies in my freezer right now from Toomey's, you know, so it's, I couldn't catch them anymore. They quit throwing them anyway, but, but you know, they're still there. It is still Mardi Gras.
Thanks for doing your part, Rob.
I'm doing my part. I'm doing my part. And so, you know, there is going to be something going on here. There will still be people staggering around the streets.
You know, this is what I've been saying. I was like, I bet this is going to end up being the craziest, most memorable Mardi Gras ever, because people are just not going to know what to do with themselves. And it is going to be one for the history books.
A giant super spreader event.
It's going to be, remember, well, that too. But remember that year we didn't have Mardi Gras and so-and-so did. That, this, that, or the other.
When everybody got arrested.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I think this one's going to end up being.
So, yeah. It's
hopefully in good ways.
Well, yeah. Hopefully it's going to be a lot of fun. We'll be able to watch some of them down here. And then, you know, of course, kind of going into that, you know, because things are a little different and we're doing things a little differently, the Sanger is going to reopen here. And, but they're doing it in a different way. Dale, talk about that as well.
Well, so the Sanger has done smaller shows. They've got one coming up tomorrow, too, I believe, that's a little bit smaller. This is the first really big show they're doing. A couple of country stars are coming for a two-night event. Jamie Johnson and Randy Houser are going to be in town middle of this month, and they're basically going to put on a two-night show. 600 people per night are going to be able to attend. That was the number they came up with when they did 6 feet of separation between groups of ticket buyers. And they really just don't want people to behave poorly and
ruin this
for everyone.
This is why we can't have nice things.
That's the
fun part of your story on this week is the admonition of, hey, don't come down here and act like a maniac or do things that are just going to ruin this for everybody.
I don't need a mask or those rules don't apply to me or whatever.
The Sanger just wants everybody to follow the rules because they feel like, and they're probably right, they feel like there's a spotlight on them now.
Right.
The whole industry is watching to see, because this is like the first big, real big tour that the industry is kind of putting on.
And
as
that's
we get
not
back
just for
it.
Mobile. That's like nationwide.
Yeah. The industry is going to be watching this tour. And I think Sanger's the third stop on the tour. So they really feel like they've got
to nail this.
To nail this and to get everybody on the same page so that going forward, we can, like you said, have nice things and have shows again. And this is not only important for like the big promoters and the big venues, but it really does mean a lot, I think, to the smaller venues as well, which we have some of those here too.
So we know it's going to be a tight sort of, there's going to be a tension there. There's going to be a lot of people there watching to see if you're doing what you're doing, right?
That's the expectation. That's right.
So,
and they're going to do things a little bit differently too. It's going to be an acoustic set.
Right.
That will limit the number of people that are going to be backstage. I think they're going to let one person for each group be backstage. So like two people backstage because it's built 1927.
Yeah, it's pretty tiny back there. There's not a lot of room.
We've been back there as a group.
There's not a tremendous amount of room back there.
They're going to unload. They're going to have people that unload the truck to like the back door of the stage area. And then the people that work for the Sanger are going to come in and set everything up. And then they leave and the roadies come back out. Is it Is roadies the appropriate term?
I think roadies is the still the term.
The roadies, The roadies are going to come
musical
in. If it's not, we'll hear about it. Don't worry. The roadies come in and they'll set everything up the way it's supposed to be and then leave. So they don't want to have a bunch of people in the building at one time.
Well,
and
I think that's a smart way to slowly get back into it, you know, and see if they can, you know, get the job done.
Don't leave your face covering. Don't leave your face covering it. At home, because they will not let you.
Yeah, you'll have to tie your cowboy hat around your face. Then you know it is kind of, I mean, in a way, it's sort of a nice feeling, like maybe things are getting a little bit more normal. I mean, it feels that way to me. I'm just like, oh, the Sanger's going to start
normal.
Having.
Yeah,
it is the new normal, but it's least it's at least
a taste of normal.
Yeah. Right, it's a few steps closer to normal. You
absolutely,
know?
Yeah, absolutely. So I hope everybody follows the rules. I hope everything goes well, and I hope we can do it again.
Yeah, well, that you know, hopefully we'll be doing it again.
I know,
I've got
that Jason Isbell concert coming up in, was it July they rescheduled it?
Yeah, it's been rescheduled twice, and we've missed out on
it
a couple of times.
Don't mess it up.
Yeah, let's not mess it up, folks. And, you know, if any of you roadies out there are offended by you know, you can write Dale at LandyetMobile.com.
Can't wait.
All right, folks, we're going to take another break here for a minute, and we'll be back shortly.
Hero Sports Bar and Grill now open 7 days a week at both locations. Ask about our new hot wings, the Singapore Sting and the Nature Boy. Woo! Come have a clipper at Heroes, Mobile's own since 1998. Hero Sports Bar and Grill now offers curbside 7 days a week. Call 433-HERO for Dolphin Street or 341-WING for Hillcrest. Try our kick-ass spinach and crawfish dip. And thanks for supporting Heroes, a Mobile original since 1998.
You've always turned to Lagniappe for award-winning local news, in-depth investigative reporting, commentary, cuisine reviews, and arts and entertainment coverage. And now, under the leadership of sports editor Tommy Hicks, we're also home to the best sports pages in Alabama. Lagniappe is your local newspaper. As always, you can pick up the print version for free at any of our Regal Purple boxes scattered across Mobile and Baldwin counties. And by purchasing a Lagniappe digital subscription for just 21 cents a day, you'll help us continue to give you a great paper. Plus, you'll also get access to LagniappeMobile.com on up to 5 devices and almost daily web-only content and breaking news, not to mention access to our archives. Just 21 cents a day for a Lagniappe digital subscription. And right now, with the purchase of any annual Lagniappe digital subscription, you'll get a cool Lagniappe t-shirt. Just a little Lagniappe for you. So, sign up today at LagniappeMobile.com and help keep Mobile funky.
And we are back for the third and final session here of Lagnapod for this week. And so, what's coming up this week? Something big? It's the Super Bowl, right? It's Super Bowl week. It's not only Mardi Gras, but Super Bowl. And we actually have an interesting connection. Sports editor Tommy Hicks has joined us to talk a little bit about that. So what's going on this week with the Super Bowl?
Well, maybe people will pay a little more attention to that third team on the field, the officiating crew this week with former University of Mobile graduate, I guess she's still a graduate, Sarah Thomas.
Yeah.
Will be the first female ever to officiate a Super Bowl. She was also the first female ever to officiate a Power 5 conference football game, the first to officiate a bowl game, and the first to join an NFL crew. So she keeps breaking barriers.
Tommy, did she get in, and I know you're going to interview her after this game for next week's issue, but did she get into this trying to be,
Her brother was involved in it, and she went to a meeting with him. He said, why don't you just tag along?
I gotcha.
And officials meeting there in Mississippi, I believe. And she went to one of the meetings and got hooked and just started calling games and has gone from small type games, high school games and stuff like that, all the way to NFL.
It's been exciting to watch her. You know, I get excited about it. I don't know her. I've met her, but my brother went to school with her in Pascagoula, at Pascagoula High School. Mm-hmm. So I've known of her. And so, you know, I've always taken notice of that official running around out there with a ponytail. I'm like, oh, that's her. That's Sarah. You know, and I always, but you know, to find out that she was doing the Super Bowl this year was pretty impressive, I thought.
And the Super Bowl officials are the ones that are graded the best out of the group. Is that how that works?
I think that's my understanding, is it's just selected that way. I don't know that it's an entire crew from the year that they work together. I think it's just the best of the best.
Yeah, I think that's how it works.
Did they actually get, like, you know, graded?
Yes, absolutely. They get graded every game.
You get, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Every single game, they're graded.
Yeah. Okay.
A lot of them are graded on their biceps as well.
You know, well, then Ed Hockley,
yeah, yeah. You know, you got a pumping iron, looking good. You know, but yeah, it's fascinating to think about her being out there doing that, and just, you know, she went. What sport did she play at Mobile?
She played basketball at Mobile and was very good. She's ranked really high in some of the all time career stats at the school. I believe in assists, scoring, she's up there pretty high. I think rebounding as well. So she was always a really good athlete. I understand she also played softball, I believe, that as well. So she's been a good athlete all her life and hung around this officiating thing. She's really made that work. She's just climbed really high. So you got to be good to get at that level.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got to be really good. Yeah. So she's made her presence known.
Well, you know, hopefully she'll make her presence known this week with, you know, not having one of those moments that everybody's talking about, the refs blowing a call, but I'm sure she'll do fine. But we're going to have a big game this week, and, you know, you've had some people that are offering prediction weighing in.
If the referees blow a call, does that mean they didn't give it to Tom Brady?
That may be the blowing call.
That took, 5.4 seconds for him to jump all over that.
Sorry, go ahead.
What are your experts saying about this? We have the Chiefs and the Buccaneers playing. What are they saying? Who are they saying is going to win?
Well, everything about this game is about the quarterbacks, obviously. Tom Brady at 43, who's making his 10th Super Bowl appearance. Sorry, Dale, but that's facts is facts. And he's won six of them, so he's pretty adept at this game. And then you have Patrick Mahomes, a young guy who everybody says, if there's going to be somebody to knock Brady off the GOAT status in later years, this may be the guy. And so it's just going to be a really great matchup with those two really good offenses. And it'll come down to what can the defenses do? Can they stop the guys?
Yeah, it's amazing to think of somebody being in 10 Super Bowls. I remember when, you know, John Elway was in 5. And everybody thought that's a pretty amazing.
This is the record, right,
Brady? Oh, yeah.
And so who's next after that?
Probably Elway. I think as far as quarterbacks, I think 5.
Yeah, that's I think that's right.
You know, and there's the only quarterback who has won the Super Bowl with two separate teams is Peyton Manning. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's got an opportunity to join that as well, put his name in the record book that way as well. But you know, some of us are not Brady fans. I think Dale and I probably would would place ourselves in that group. I recognize his greatness, but I don't. Something about him irks me.
Because he's just so gorgeous and married to a supermodel and has won ten Super Bowls.
Yeah. As I've said, the deal with the devil that he made, he really drove a hard bargain. His soul was worth a lot.
Yeah.
He got 10 Super Bowls, supermodel wife, looks good at age 43, still looks like he's 29, you know, he drove a hard bargain. Some of these guys just, you know, wanted the devil to tune their guitar, and they gave it up for that.
My mom used to say, the Lord does not give with both hands, but in his case, I think
you never know.
Well, he's about to be 6-4 in Super Bowls.
Well,
so,
that's, you know, yeah. I was going to say, there's that.
Not all perfect.
The one thing that us Brady haters can possibly take out of that is if he loses, he will only be 6-4. In the Super Bowl. Now, I mean, he may play long enough to have an entire 16 game season of Super Bowls to look at. But I mean, a 6-4 record in the Super Bowl is pretty amazing. But still,
it's only 6-4.
You know, only 6-4.
Wow. Or he could be 7-3.
No. Well, yeah,
he Kansas could City all day, every day. Kansas City.
It could happen. Oh, okay. It's you know, there's it is a yeah, he's been an amazing quarterback though. You know, talk a little bit about how he stays that way. How has he, in your opinion, how has he managed to outlast so many other quarterbacks?
Well, first he was with New England, which was a great organization, still is, but they missed him this year, didn't they, Dale?
They did.
Ouch.
And he had, you know, a lot of good parts around him. Good. You can't just have a great offense. You got to have a good defense, too. And the Patriots had really good teams, and he was able to make that offense work, and they were able to ride that party. And this year, what happened? New England, you don't hear anything from New England. Oh, look, the Bucs are going to the Super Bowl. So there's got to be something said for him as a leader and what he can make happen. And he announced this week, which is really going to make Dale very happy, and you as well. They said, somebody asked him, did you see yourself playing past 45? He said, yeah, I could definitely see that happen.
Exactly.
So, maybe when he's 65, he'll lose the Super Bowl.
You know, one of the things that is weirdest about him in terms of, you know, you have these quarterbacks who've gone to the Super Bowl several times, and usually they're with these juggernaut teams that blow somebody out in the Super Bowl. They've never blown anybody out in the Super Bowl. They've won several of those Super Bowls were by field goals, last second, you know, that kind of thing. The biggest, I think, I believe the most I've ever seen him really just tear it up at the Super Bowl was when they were down 25 points and they had to come back, and which he did, to his credit. You know, the Falcons blew that one. But, you know, it's normally in the Super Bowl for him, it's a tight game, win or lose. So yeah. It may well be that way.
The great matchup is that, you know, you've got two great quarterbacks who have a reputation for bringing teams back. We asked five guys to pick the game this week in the paper.
Yeah.
And four of them picked the Bucs to win.
Now, who are these guys? Just bums out on the street, guys who don't know what they're talking about?
No, we had NFL guys. We had Bob Baumhauer.
Okay.
We had Richard Todd.
Okay.
We had Reese Dismukes.
That's pretty good.
We had Stan White. And we had Kane Womack. Kane Womack is the only one to pick the Chiefs to win.
Good for
him. So it's kind of interesting.
So he's the smart one.
The one thing he did say that I think is pretty accurate, he said the quarterback that has the ball last with manageable time at the end will win the game.
Unless Brady throws an interception.
Now, Dale, I think
which he threw three of last time.
Oh, Dale.
Dale, you were saying something the other day, I thought, that Mahomes has never lost a game by more than 7 points or something, I think. Or was that you saying that or Tommy?
It may have been Tommy. That sounds right.
But he's,
you got that at a bar somewhere.
Maybe I got that in a bar. I don't know. I may have heard it from that guy that was throwing up outside the door the other day. Sorry, Ash.
That sounds right.
Ash, we've sort of dominated this. What are your thoughts on it? Who are you going for? Who are you picking?
I'm going to go with the Bucs. I just, I mean, Tom Brady's a proven winner.
Okay.
And hottie.
Okay.
And I'm just going to be cooking fried shrimp and oysters and a whole spread, and that's what I'm most excited for.
All right. I'm going with Chiefs.
Yeah. Chiefs all day. All day. Wow.
You know what? I'm going to go with the Bucs just to anger Dale. That's my only reason. I really don't have a dog in the fight, but I'm going to go with the Bucs just to get Dale.
Fair enough.
Well, we'll be here next week to find out how angry somebody is. I was hoping maybe there'd be some sort of a bet between the two of you, you know,
no.
The shave your head type thing or something. But anyway.
These beautiful locks? No.
No, we're not doing that. Well, thanks, guys, once again for being here. This is the fourth episode of Lagnapod. Come in, tune in next week. Can you tune in on the internet? I guess you just click in next week on Thursday, and we'll have another episode for you. Thanks a lot. The Lagnapod is a Something Extra Publishing production. Executive producers are Rob Holbert and Ashley Trice. Music is by Some Pulse Sounds and Electro Animals. To sign up for a Lagnap digital subscription, to have continued access to this podcast, go to my.lagnapmobile.com. For Lagnapod advertising opportunities, please call 251-450-4466.